Hi, my name is Donna Kukla from Somerset, New Jersey. Today's date is April 12th, and we are reading through the Bible.
Thank you, Donna, and welcome to everyone out there. This is the Daily Radio Bible. My name is Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're spending a little time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word spend a little time on us. You know how we need that. No doubt about that. Well, today we are in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13. We go on to 1 Chronicles chapters 2 and 3. And then we finish our reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Continued war with Philistia. Saul was 38 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 42 years. Saul selected 3,000 special troops from the army of Israel and sent the rest of the men home. He took 2,000 of the chosen men with him to Michmash and the hill country of Bethel. The other 1,000 went with Saul's son Jonathan to Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. Soon after this, Jonathan attacked and defeated the garrison of Philistines at Geba. The news spread quickly among the Philistines. So Saul blew the ram's horn throughout the land, saying, "Hebrews, hear this! Rise up, revolt!" All Israel heard the news that Saul had destroyed the Philistine garrison at Geba, and that the Philistines now hated the Israelites more than ever. So the entire Israelite army was summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines mustered a mighty army of 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and as many warriors as the grains of sand on the seashore. They encamped at Michmash east of Beth-Aven. The men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in, and because they were hard-pressed by the enemy, they tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and cisterns. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. Meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier, but Samuel did not come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Saul was finishing the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet him and welcome him, but Samuel said, "What is this you have done?" Saul replied, "I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would. And the Philistines are at Michmash ready for battle. So I said, 'The Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't asked for the Lord's help.' So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offerings myself before you came."
"How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Samuel then left Gilgal and went on his way, but the rest of the troops went with Saul to meet the army. They went up from Gilgal to Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. When Saul counted the men who were still with him, he found only 600 were left. Saul and Jonathan and the troops with them were staying at Geba in the land of Benjamin. The Philistines set up their camp at Michmash. 3 raiding parties soon left the camp of the Philistines. One went north toward Ophrah in the land of Shaul. Another went west to Beth Horon, and the third moved toward the border above the valley of Zeboim near the wilderness. There were no blacksmiths in the land of Israel in those days. The Philistines wouldn't allow them for fear they would make swords and spears for the Hebrews. So whenever the Israelites needed to sharpen their plowshares, picks, axes, or sickles, they had to take them to the Philistine blacksmith. The charges were as follows: 1/4 ounce of silver for sharpening a plowshare or pick, and 1/8 ounce for sharpening an axe or making the point of an ox goad. So on the day of battle, none of the people of Israel had a sword or spear, except for Saul and Jonathan. The pass at Michmash had meanwhile been secured by a contingent of the Philistine army. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. The descendants of Israel. The sons of Israel were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Judah had 3 sons. from Bethshua, a Canaanite woman. Their names were Onan, and Shelah. But the Lord saw that the oldest son was a wicked man, so he killed him. Later, Judah had two sons from Tamar, his widowed daughter-in-law. Their names were Perez and Zerah. So Judah had five sons in all. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Zerah were Zimri, Ethan, Heman, Kalkol, and Darda, five in all. The sons of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, was Achan, who brought disaster on Israel by taking plunder that had been set apart for the Lord. The son of Ethan was Azariah. The sons of Hezron were Jeharmiel, Ram, and Caleb. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon, a leader of Judah. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse's first son was Eliab. His second son was Abinadab. His third was Shemaiah. The fourth was Nathanael. His fifth was Radai. The sixth was Ozem. The seventh was David. Their sisters were named Zariah and Abigail. Zariah had three sons named Abishai, Joab, and Asahel. Abigail married a man named Jether, an Ishmaelite, and they had a son named Amasa. Hezron's son Caleb had sons with his wife, Azubah, and from Jerioth. Her sons were named Jesher, Shobab, and Ardan. After Azubah died, Caleb married Ephrathah, and they had a son named Hur. Hur was the father of Uri. Uri was the father of Bezalel. When Hezron was 60 years old, he married Gilead's sister, the daughter of Machir. They had a son named Sagub. Sagub was the father of Jair, who ruled 23 towns in the land of Gilead. But Geshur and Aram captured the towns of Jair and also took Kanath and its 60 surrounding villages. All these were descendants of Machir, the father of Gilead. Soon after Hezron died in the town of Caleb Ephrathah, his wife Abijah gave birth to a son named Ashur, the father of Tekoa. The sons of Jerahmeel, the oldest son of Hezron, were Ram, the firstborn, Banuah, Oren, Ozem, and Ahishah. Jerahmeel had a second wife named Atara. She was the mother of Onam. The sons of Ram, the oldest son of Jerahmeel, were Maaz, Jamin, and Eker. The sons of Onam were Shemaiah and Jada. The sons of Shemaiah were Nadab and Abishur. The sons of Abishur and his wife Abihail were Ahaban and Molid. The sons of Nodab were Saled and Apiam. Saled died without children, but Apiam had a son named Ishi. The son of Ishi was Sheshan. Sheshan had a descendant named Ahaliah. The sons of Jedah, Shemaiah's brother, were Jether and Jonathan. Jether died without children, but Jonathan had two sons named Peleth and Zaza. These were all descendants of Jerahmeel. Sheshan had no sons, though he did have daughters. He also had an Egyptian servant named Jahara. Sheshan gave one of his daughters to be the wife of Jahara, and they had a son named Atiah. Atiah was the father of Nathan. Nathan was the father of Zabad. Zabad was the father of Elal. Elal was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jehu. Jehu was the father of Azariah. Azariah was the father of Helez. Helez was the father of Eliasah. Eliasah was the father of Sismai. Sismai was the father of Shalom. Shalom was the father of Jachamiah. Jachamiah was the father of Elishama. The descendants of Caleb, the brother of Jeharmeel, included Mesha, the firstborn, who became the father of Ziph. Caleb's descendants also included the sons of Mirshah, the father of Hebron. The sons of Hebron were Korah, Tappuah, Rakem, and Shema. Shema was the father of Ramah. Ramah was the father of Jorkim. Rakem was the father of Shemaiah. The son of Shemaiah was Meon. Meon was the father of Beth-Zur. Caleb's concubine, Ephah, gave birth to Haran, Mozah, Gazez, Haran, Mozaz, and Gazev. Haran was the father of Gavez. The sons of Jahadai were Ragem, Jotham, Geshan, Palet, Ephah, and Shephah. Another of Caleb's concubines, Makkah, gave birth to Sheber and Tirhana. She also gave birth to Shapha, the father of Madanama, and Sheva, the father of Machbena and Gibeah. Caleb also had a daughter named Aksa. These were all descendants of Caleb. The sons of Hur, the oldest son of Caleb's wife, Ephrathah, were Shobal, the founder of Kiriath Jearim, Salma, the founder of Bethlehem, and Haraph, the founder of Beth Gader. The descendants of Shobal, the founder of Kiriath Jearim, were Horar, half of the Mahanathites, and the family of Kiriath Jearim, the Itharites, the Puthites, Shamathites, and the Mishraites, from whom came the people of Zorah and Eshtoal. The descendants of Salma were the people of Bethlehem, the Netophathites, Atroth Beth Joab, the other half of the Manahathites, the Zorites, and the families of scribes living at Jabesh, the Tirathites, Shimeathites, and the Sukkathites. All these were Kenites, who descended from Hamath, the father of the family of Rechab. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Descendants of David. These are the sons of David who were born in Hebron. The oldest was Ammon, whose mother was Ahinoam from Jezreel. The second was Daniel, whose mother was Abigail from Carmel. The third was Absalom, whose mother was Maachah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth was Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith. The fifth was Shephatiah, whose mother was Abital. The sixth was Ithraim, whose mother was Eglah, David's wife. These six sons were born to David in Hebron, where he reigned 7.5 years. Then David reigned another 33 years in Jerusalem. The sons born to David in Jerusalem included Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon. Their mother was Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. David also had 9 other sons, Ibhar, Elishua, Eliphelet, Nogah, Napheg, Jephiah, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. These were the sons of David, not including his son born to his concubines. Their sister was named Tamar. The descendants of Solomon were Rehoboam and Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Ahaziah, Joash, Amaziah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, and Josiah. The sons of Josiah were Johanan the oldest, Jehoiakim the second, Zedekiah the third, and Jehoahaz the fourth. The successors of Jehoiakim were his son Jehoiachin and his brother Zedekiah. The sons of Jehoiachin, who were taken prisoner by the Babylonians, were Shealtiel, Melkarim, Padiah, Shanazar, Jachamiah, Hoshama, and Nebadiah. The sons of Padiah were Zerubbabel and Shemaiah. The sons of Zerubbabel were Meshullam and Hananiah. Their sister was Shelomith. His 5 other sons were Hashubah, Ohel, Berechiah, Hasadiah, and Jeshubah Hesed. The sons of Hananiah were Peltiah and Jeshiah. Jeshiah's son was Rephaiah. Rephaiah's son was Arnon. Arnon's son was Obadiah. Obadiah's son was Shechaniah. The descendants of Shechaniah were Shemaiah and his sons, Hattush, Igal, Beriah, Neriah, and Shaphat, 6 in all. The sons of Neriah were Eloaniah, Hezekiah, and Izrakam, 3 in all. The sons of Eliyaniah were Hadoviah, Eliashib, Peliah, Akub, Johanan, Deliah, and Aniah, 7 in all. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's vision and his thorn in the flesh. This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will only boast about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in insults and hardships, persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You have made me act like a fool. You ought to be writing recommendations for me, for I am not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing at all. When I was with you, I certainly gave you proof that I am an apostle, for I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. The only thing I failed to do, which I do in other churches, was to become a financial burden to you. Please forgive me for this wrong. Now I am coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. I don't want what you have. I want you. After all, children don't provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for their children. I will gladly spend myself and all I have for you, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. Some of you admit I was not a burden to you, but others still think I was sneaky and took advantage of you by trickery. But how? Did any of the men I sent to you take advantage of you? When I urged Titus to visit you and sent our other brother with him, did Titus take advantage of you? No. For we have the same spirit and walk in each other's steps, doing things the same way. Perhaps you think we're saying these things just to defend ourselves. No, we tell you this as Christ's servants, and with God as our witness. Everything we do, dear friends, is to strengthen you. For I am afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior. Yes, I'm afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence, and I will be grieved, because many of you have not given up your old sins. You have not repented of your impurity, sexual immorality, and eagerness for lustful pleasure. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his word. Amen. What is it that you really want? We think we know. Well, I want comfort. I want security, significance. I want pleasure. I want recognition. These are all good things. Paul wanted something too. He wanted it badly. He pleaded for it three times. He wanted relief. He wanted this thing that was bothering him to stop. He called it his thorn in the flesh, the origins of which came from Satan himself, which sounds spiritual, but then he calls it a thorn of the flesh. We're not sure exactly what it was, but the description seems to cover all the bases there, doesn't it? Whether it's something spiritual or whether it's something physical. Well, we all have needs that are either physical or spiritual. We all cry out to God, asking for him to deliver us from whatever that problem is. And Paul was no different. Three times we're told he pleaded with God to relieve him of this thing. Whatever it was, Paul felt that it was holding him back from doing the things that he needed to do. This is what Paul really wanted. While he saw God deliver and provide for healing for other people, their spiritual or physical needs, but why didn't God do this same thing for Paul? Or why doesn't he do this same thing for us, for you, for me? Well, maybe because there's something Paul needs that's more important than what Paul wants. Paul needs to know the power of grace in his life. God tells Paul not once, but three different times that grace is what he needs. God's power works best in our weaknesses. And that's a hard lesson to learn. It took Paul three separate times of God telling him this for it finally to sink in, for him to get the point. I think it takes most of us a few more tries than that. Or maybe I should just speak for myself here. But God's grace is all we need. Not just for the spiritual struggles that I go through in this life, but also for the physical struggles that we encounter in this life. Because my body ages and it breaks down. Our bodies, they get sick, and sometimes they get cancer. And I need to know that God's grace is sufficient for me, not just for my spiritual struggle, but for my physical struggle as well. That God can give me power to live His life now, even in bodies that are breaking down. So I need to know that. I think we all need to know that. And the prayer for my heart today is that I will hear God's answer to what I really need, above and over what I want. Paul heard it 3 times. I need to hear it too. And I feel particularly burdened to pray for all of you today. For you listeners out there who are going through spiritual and physical challenges, hardships, struggles. Some of you have chronic illnesses. Some have autoimmune problems. Some are being treated for cancer, even now. I want to pray for you. I know that you and that those that love you have been pleading to God for you, for your health, for your recovery. Well, I want to pray for that too. And maybe recovery and restored health, healing will be your story. This is often the case. And for that, we give thanks to God, because that healing and that recovery are examples of God's grace too. But if you have another answer, if like Paul, you hear God say to you that what you need is my grace, my sufficient grace, this grace is more important than what you want, well, I want to pray that you'll draw strength from Him, that you'll even find yourself boasting of that strength that you find in your time of weakness. That strength is from Him. And that strength is His grace. So, Father, I come in Jesus' name, and I pray for my brothers and sisters who are listening today. Many of them are sick, Lord. They're suffering things physically, maybe even some spiritually. Whatever the case is, Lord, I know that we have needs and we have wants. But we want to find you in and through both of these things. We want to discover the sufficiency of your grace. We want to experience your presence in our weakness. We want to draw close to you, Lord. We want to find our life in you. Whether we are being healed and restored or whether our bodies just continue to break down, we need you. Help us to see that. I know, Lord, sometimes it's so hard for us to see it. Paul struggled to see it. We all struggle to see it. But you are faithful to speak to us and to keep speaking to us. 3 times you spoke to Paul. Lord, keep speaking to us until we hear it, until we know it, until we experience it all. Because we want all of you, Lord. We want all of you. So I pray for my brothers and sisters today, Lord, that we would all experience the sufficiency of your grace and the nearness of your presence and healing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's where we hang our hat out here in the interwebs, and it's always such a great thing to hear from you. It really is. Find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. It really is a privilege and honor to share a little of your stories. So thanks for sharing when you do. It's such a blessing. Hey, I want to encourage you, if you haven't done this yet, to sign up for our email newsletter. This newsletter keeps you informed of all that we got going on here at the Daily Radio Bible. And it's a way to hear about others who are on this journey with you. Listeners will often write in and tell us a little bit about how God is using this podcast in their life. And it's an encouragement to my heart, and I believe it'll be an encouragement to you too as you read and share in these stories. Hey, one way that you can share this ministry is by liking our Facebook page and sharing our posts with your friends. Another simple way that you can share this is by sharing the app. Give this app away. It's free and it's easy to do. All you have to do is click on the icon on the app that says share the app, and you can pass it on to your friends through instant message or email, social media. So give the app away. Who knows, maybe you'll have somebody who will join you on this journey. Well, hey, my friends, we are on a journey indeed, and each step of the way it has been an amazing and surprising blessing in my own life, and I trust that you're experiencing some of this too. Well, I plan on being back here again tomorrow to take another step with you. That's right, one more time. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I will be here again. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength, recognizing His grace is sufficient, His power is made perfect in our weakness. And let's try and remember this too, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye-bye.